Welcome to the St. Michael Daily Meditations for Lent. My name is Mary Lessman, and I'll be leading our meditation today. Our theme this Lent is In the Garden. When Jesus faced his deepest trial, he prayed in the garden. As we struggle with our own trials, Jesus walks with us and calls us to a deeper life of prayer and commitment to God's love. As Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." A reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 50, verses 15 to 26. Realizing that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers said, "What if Joseph still bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong that we did to him?" So they approached Joseph, saying, "Your father gave this instruction before he died. Say to Joseph, 'I beg you, forgive the crime of your brothers and the wrong they did in harming you. Now, therefore, please forgive the crime of the servants of the God of your father.'" Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also wept, fell down before him, and said, "We are here as your slaves." But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good, in order to preserve a numerous people, as he's doing today. So have no fear. I myself will provide for you and your little ones." In this way, he reassured them, speaking kindly to them. So Joseph remained in Egypt, he and his father's household, and Joseph lived 110 years. Joseph saw Ephraim's children to the third generation. The children of Machir, son of Manasseh, were also born on Joseph's knees. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am about to die, but God will surely come to you and bring you up out of this land to the land that he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." So Joseph made the Israelites swear, saying, "When God comes to you, you shall carry up my bones from here." And Joseph died, being 110 years old. He was embalmed and placed in a coffin in Egypt. Here ends the reading. Today we come to the end of the Joseph saga that we've been making our way through for several weeks. So much drama. Jealous that their father Jacob favors Joseph, his brothers sell him into slavery and break their father's heart. Against all odds, Joseph ultimately ascends to power in Egypt as Pharaoh's right-hand man. Famine paralyzes the region, and the remaining brothers are forced to go to Egypt to buy food. By a crazy quirk of fate, it is Joseph whom they must beg for grain. After all these years, his brothers do not recognize him, but Joseph recognizes them. Instead of outing himself to his brothers, Joseph begins a twisted game of cat and mouse. He pretends not to know them, accuses them of spying, and throws them all in jail for 3 days. He demands that after they take their grain home, they return to Egypt with Benjamin, their youngest brother. Joseph even has one of his brothers, Simeon, bound and thrown in prison to guarantee their return. When the family is once again out of food, the brothers are forced to return for more grain, this time with the promised Benjamin. Joseph, having a second opportunity to come clean, chooses instead to continue his deceit. He has his own silver cup slipped into Benjamin's sack, setting him up for a charge of stealing. When Judah finally confesses the fullness of their situation and begs for mercy, Joseph is overcome. He reveals his identity to his brothers. They all have a good cry. Joseph gives God credit for the circumstances that brought him to influence in Egypt. And Jacob and his sons and their families move nearby to the land of Goshen so that Joseph can ensure his family will survive the remaining years of famine. Almost 20 years later, Jacob dies. Even after so long a time, the brothers are afraid that Joseph will seek revenge against them. It's as if they've never truly believed that Joseph forgave them, that perhaps their father Jacob had served as a buffer that kept all the brothers in line, but now that he was gone, the whole relational balance would shift. And so they plead with Joseph not to harm them, even offering to be his slaves. Once again, Joseph reassures him that he intends them no harm. And again, he credits God with shaping circumstances so that all of them might be saved, might be used for good. As we've discussed before, forgiveness can be messy, especially among our family members. These brothers all behaved poorly with each other. It is wrong to sell your snot-nosed, braggart little brother into slavery. It is wrong to lock your brothers in prison and plant stolen goods on them. There are no good guys and bad guys here, just messy family relationships. The seeds of deceit and misbehavior sown years and years ago can continue to circle back around and impact our relationships. Sometimes forgiveness in such messy situations is messy as well. It can be dormant or meandering or erratic or a roller coaster ride. The saga of Joseph and his brothers reminds us that even in the most deeply troubled families who have experienced unimaginable rupture, forgiveness and even healing are possible. We see it throughout Scripture and in our own lives. There's always the possibility of the release of our guilt, the healing of our pain, and the reestablishment of our relationships. While God does not cause the evil and destruction that befall us, He can use our lives and our circumstances, messy as they are, to work His good intentions for us and for the world. Perhaps when we are able to choose the healing of relationship, we too will be gifted with an understanding of how God is using our messy forgiveness to bring about His reconciliation of the world. Amen. Please join me as we continue with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Gracious Father, whose blessed Son, Jesus Christ, came down from heaven to be the true bread which gives life to the world, evermore give us this bread, that He may live in us and we in Him, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.